This is the Crawford Broadcasting Company's Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of our greatest Christian leaders. On this show, we celebrate WMUZ's golden anniversary, 50 years of great Christian broadcasting, and the dynamic man who made it possible, CBC founder and America's first televangelist, Dr. Percy B. Crawford.
For 50 years, WMUZ has been the major force in Christian radio in Detroit. From its inception by Dr. Percy B. Crawford, WMUZ Radio has always been a place where listeners could come for biblical teachings and inspiring music, a radio haven for believers.
Bob Anderson, this is Percy Crawford, and I'm making you a little tape here now of a prayer dedication of the new power of the station, and then a few announcements that might serve as introduction to your new power and the new studios, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Stand by. I'm making them on Monday, August the 29th, 1960. Stand by.
In the early days of the evangelical movement of the 1930s and 40s in America, owners of secular radio stations were stingy with the airtime they sold for religious broadcasting, but even more so with evangelicals. They preferred instead to limit the availability of religious broadcasting time, and even then to allow only more mainstream religious programs on air. As you'll hear, for men such as CBC founder Dr. Percy B. Crawford, that seemed not only unfair, but an injustice to the potential souls that could be saved using the power of radio and television. Born in Minnedosa, Manitoba, Canada in 1902, Percy Bartimus Crawford was like most boys, lively and rebellious. But as an early teen, his father's abandonment of their family forced young Percy to take on the grown-up responsibility of supporting his family, even though he was the youngest of three boys. He dropped out of school to sell newspapers and eventually landed a job driving a delivery truck. Later, he would help his mother Margaret run her small grocery store. While still a teenager, Percy made a lone migration to the United States, eventually settling in Oregon, where he lived with relatives while he worked and went to school. Showing great promise as a student at the Oregon Institute of Technology, which was run by the YMCA, and then later at the College Preparatory School, he was encouraged by the principal of the prep school to continue on and get his college degree. And so after graduation, Percy took a boat to Los Angeles with plans to attend the fall session at the University of California. But 2 days before he was to begin classes, all of his plans changed. While attending a service at the Church of the Open Door, a fiery sermon by William P. Nicholson ignited Percy Crawford's heart. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and was converted on the spot. He changed his mind about attending the University of California and instead opted to continue his education at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. From there, he went on to Wheaton College and then got his theological degree from Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. During that time, Percy began his evangelical work.
I was attending a theological seminary here in Philadelphia, and at the same time, I was taking my graduate work at the University of Pennsylvania. During the summer of 1932, I had the opportunity to take the preaching and community work at a mission at the corner of 7th and Spruce Streets here in Philadelphia. At the first service, there were only 13 people out. After a few Sundays, I said, see here, I'm not going to preach over and over to you folks. You know the gospel. I'm going out on the street corner and do my preaching. I'm not going to just stay around here and play with this thing. Oh, never, they said. No, we've got to have our regular services. Yes, I said, I mean it, and I'm going. And you that don't want to come, stay inside and pray for it. So next Sunday, sure as can be, we started in. We pushed the piano a block along the street and up, lifted it up onto the porch of this old church facing Washington Square here in Philadelphia. And we secured an old platform and stuck it out over the sidewalk from the porch, some 12 feet high. And then out on the end of this diving board arrangement that I got, no railing around, often I nearly fell off. I'd sing solos, believe it or not, lead the singing, preach, and everything that goes with a church service, but there's nobody else there to do it. The first night we had about 200 dopes and drunks and puffs from that area. They'd see me standing out in the end of that diving board and say, what in the world is that fool doing out there? Night after night, the meetings were run, and the crowds grew till we had over 1,000 men and women in attendance. 3 and 4 police squad cars would be there to keep order. My, how the Lord did bless. The moderator of the Presbytery of Philadelphia came down one night, and he reported, he said back to Presbytery, he said, well, I saw with my own eyes 70 men and women, dopes and drunks, standing, praying the publican's prayer in the gutter. Never in all my life have I experienced the power of God on His Word as I did in those meetings.
After his graduation from Westminster, Percy Crawford set his sights on bringing youngsters, especially teenagers, to the Lord. Seeing how young people were drawn to the music of the day, he decided to incorporate music in his ministry to attract their attention. His wife Ruth was an accomplished musician, and it was she that melded the music of the time with Christian lyrics, creating songs that became immensely popular with Christian youth throughout America. At a time when most religious leaders considered radio to be the domain of the devil, Percy Crawford saw it differently. To him, radio was yet another tool for bringing the unsaved to Jesus. Radio was still in its infancy when Percy Crawford started his radio program, the Young People's Church of the Air. The exorbitant cost of the still-evolving radio technology made the cost of airtime very expensive. When he signed his first contract with WIP, WFAN Broadcasting Company, Percy had to shell out an astonishing $175 a week, about $6,000 a season, and this was in 1931 during the Great Depression. He had very little money of his own and no backers. But with radio's growing popularity, Percy knew that through radio, he could get God's message into places like bars and clubs and other public places where, as he put it, a preacher can't go himself. It was, as he said, a faith venture.
Friends told me that I should be underwritten before we start. Well, I knew no one would underwrite me, nobody would have want to back me with all the money. So I picked up my Greek Testament and I read this: "My God will make up the deficiency of all you need." There was my underwriting. That's what I needed.
Young People's Church of the Air was truly unique in many ways compared to the other religious programming of the time. It wasn't a regular church service, and the program had no ties to any congregation.
Sending the Young People's Church of the Air, the world's largest youth broadcast, coming to you coast to coast from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, under the leadership of the Reverend Percy Crawford. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to another Young People's Church of the Air program, coming to you coast to coast and around the world by shortwave. We invite you to stay tuned in with us now for the next half hour and enjoy this program put on by young people for young and old alike, and we know that you'll enjoy it.
Its appeal stemmed largely from two things. One was its extensive use of the upbeat gospel music composed primarily by Dr. Crawford's wife, Ruth.
I played the piano and then brought over the original quartet. We always had a quartet, and had soloists, Hilda Smizer, and some of the quartet boys would sing solos, and we got a little orchestra together. And It was just a wonderful opportunity for me to express my music, because I'll never get over the opportunity the Lord gave me.
Another was Percy's rapid fire and impassioned delivery of the plain gospel, spoken directly to the listener.
And today, there is a great Youth for Christ movement sweeping these United States, which we trust will be used to win thousands and thousands to the Son of God before He comes. And listen to me now, you there listening by the radio. I believe the return of Jesus Christ is very near. We are living in an awful age, a fearful age. And you should be ready. You should be a Christian. You should have your sins forgiven. You should know Christ as your Savior. You should receive Him there now. And there in your heart, as you listen to this radio, will you let Him in? I hope you will. Let Him in. And we'll be happy to rejoice with you in your salvation.
His use of radio is just one of the many ways in which Percy Crawford fished for souls. Over the years, he found new and innovative ways to bring people to Christ. Dr. Crawford's son and CBC owner and president Don Crawford explains.
In 1958, the family owned three camps in the Pocono Mountains. The King's College in Briarcliff Manor, New York, didn't own it, but controlled it. We had weekly television programs. We had daily radio programs of 1.5 hour, Monday through Saturday. All these other guys today are catching their breaths after Friday. We couldn't wait for Saturday. We owned Christian bookstores. We had a publishing arm, which published newspapers, magazines, tracts, He owned diners, three of them. And on top of that, he and our family, four nights a week, were on the road, in services, in meetings, four nights every week, right out of high school, right out of college, didn't matter. Leave the studies, leave the sports, and go to service. I remember one week when our family had 15 services in one week. I remember one Sunday where we had six services in one day at three different churches.
By 1958, Dr. Crawford, disheartened by the way in which radio and television stations limited on-air time for evangelical Christians, created the Crawford Broadcasting Company and began acquiring radio stations, FM radio stations, which were new at the time. Buying an FM station was much easier and far more affordable than AM stations, and you could obtain a license more quickly than an AM. But there was another driving factor in Dr. Crawford's actions.
I think in 1958, he knew his days were numbered. In fact, I know he did.
Don Crawford.
The doctors told him that he had probably 1 to 2 years to live because he had heart valve problems. Today, a heart valve problem, it's almost an outpatient procedure. 60 years ago, they didn't know anything about it. And as a matter of fact, if you had the operation, there was a 10 to 15% chance you wouldn't make it through. So he wouldn't go. So they said, well, then you'll be dead in 2 years. And he was dead in 2 years. That simple. So he knew that. And I think it forged his thinking. I think it made him determined that he would do anything and everything he could. Anything. Everything. So his heart and passion was radio and television communication. And in less than 2 years' time, he bought a radio station in Detroit. He got a construction permit in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and built a radio station. Bought a station in Chicago. Bought a station in Des Moines, Iowa, and in Portland, Oregon, and in Miami, Florida. And three of those stations were for free. Now, FM was nothing. You could apply to the FCC and you could get an FM construction permit in 45 days for nothing. In the largest cities, for nothing.
Dr. Crawford bought WMUZ, the station, tower, and equipment from Michigan Music Company, signing a bill of sale on October 21st, 1958. WMUZ went over the airwaves immediately. After a bit of a rocky start, including a brutal personnel change, Bob Anderson settled in as general manager, and in less than 2 years' time, the power of WMUZ was increased, making it at that time the strongest FM signal in Michigan.
Ladies and gentlemen, it might interest you to know that you are now listening to the new WMUZ-FM. With effective radiated power of 115,000.6, that's 115,600 kilowatts, sending out the powerful message of WMUZ. We don't apologize for the great Christian music we have on. We don't apologize for the great men of God that we have on. And we certainly are proud of the wonderful advertisers that have chosen WMUZ to advertise their products. The products and the people that we represent are real people. Their products are good, or we wouldn't handle them on this station. You can be sure that the people are right that back up their products that they sell on this station. So keep listening, keep telling your friends, and keep praying that God will use this as a way out for many evangelical men who'd like a chance to have their message heard. This is Percy Crawford saying thank you, and we appreciate your continued interest.
On Saturday, October 29th, 1960, as he, his wife Ruth, and youngest daughter Donna Lee were on their way to a Youth for Christ meeting in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Percy B. Crawford suffered a heart attack. Medics arrived on the scene and resuscitated Dr. Crawford, and he was taken to the nearest hospital, where he spent the first night coughing and struggling to breathe. By Sunday, he appeared to be recovering well, even visiting with his children Don and Donna Lee, and talking on the phone with one of his other sons, Dick. But on the following day, Monday, October 31st. While Ruth tried to get him to eat something, Percy fell into a coughing fit and urgently told his wife to get the doctor. It was the last time she would see him alive. At about 6 o'clock that evening, Dr. Percy B. Crawford went home to be with the Lord.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you once again to another Pinebrook Praises program. This is Dan Crawford reporting to you from the King's College here in Briarcliff Manor. And we thought this morning that you might like to hear a recording of the funeral service held here at a local Methodist church. The faculty and student body requested this service so that they could have a chance to express their sympathy. I know it was a moving service, and we're glad to give you listeners an opportunity to witness it, even though it is in this certainly small and inadequate way.
A memorial service was also held at Town Hall in Philadelphia. Several thousand people attended, filling the auditorium to overflowing, with many in attendance forced to remain outside. Billy Graham gave the eulogy.
Billy Graham canceled a meeting to come and deliver the eulogy for my father. I never forgot that. He sat right behind me when I had to get up in front of 7,000 people, 22 years old, and talk about my family.
Eldest son Don gave an eloquent and loving speech, recognizing his father as no ordinary man, and then appropriately gave an invitation. Hands went up, and people came forward. It was Dr. Crawford's wish that the many works he began continue on after his homecoming.
It was an incredible operation. It was kept together by that man's dynamic, because the strength of the Christ was in him. One of the greatest pioneers, greatest visionaries you would ever meet. If you had met him, you'd be captivated. He'd look you right in the eye and he could make you speechless. He had a charisma about him that was incredible.
Because Dr. Crawford remained ever calm and faithful in the Lord, no one knew at the time of his death how dangerously overextended his finances were. He relied on God to make up the deficiency and took comfort in the fact that the stations were his major assets. Don Crawford.
And you talk about chaos. You would simply not believe the state of disarray, which he was able to hold at bay.
But with his passing, things began to unravel.
Gone, the three camps in the Poconos turned over to my brother. Gone, TV station sold for a pittance. Gone, the FM radio station in Philadelphia. Gone, the bookstores. Gone, the publishing. Gone, the diners. Gone, the services and meetings. Gone. And we continue them. We kept his schedule. My mother traveled, some of our quartet members participated, volunteered, and I preached. Gone, Youtherama. Gone, the King's College. Gone. Everything gone.
A few of the original radio stations did manage to survive. Don Crawford took over three of the stations, WMUZ Detroit, WYCA Hammond, and WDAC in Lancaster, and continued to build Crawford Broadcasting Company into what it is today.
So it all started in 1958. Percy Crawford started his first Christian radio station, this one right here in Detroit, WMUZ.
Frank Franciosi, general manager of WMUZ.
And then slowly throughout the years, stations were added. Until today, we have 24 Christian radio stations across the country, spreading from California all the way to New York. I've known and worked with Don Crawford for over 30 years, and it's great to see him carrying on the vision and the work of his father. It's kind of fun when you look at the makeup of WMUZ to see the variety of programming that we've had throughout the years.
Robin Sullivan, afternoon drive host for WMUZ.
He had the vision to purchase this station and then commit the programming to just sharing the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, one of the things that's so necessary about Christian radio is that we go against the tide of where our culture seems to be taking us.
Bob Duco, host of The Bob Duco Show.
There's this move toward ungodliness. Christian radio stands there in the midst of that. And that's why here, certainly at WMUZ, in the over 50 years that we have been here now, that's one of the things that we consistently do through our music, through our teaching, through our talk.
Marvin Winans, pastor and former WMUZ host.
Sometimes you need to be encouraged, and it's good that I can turn on the radio and hear 24/7 gospel preaching, gospel music.
He stands true to what he believes with the history of the station and standing true to Christian radio.
Randy Miles, programming director of WMUZ.
Can you just imagine how different the music is from the 1950s, from 1958 to 2008, how different it is?
He touched me, he asked.
A good radio station, well managed.
James Beal, retired pastor and WMUZ host.
And a beacon of truth to the people in the Detroit area.
I thank God for radio.
George Bogle, pastor of Evangel Ministry.
It's an open door. People that are lost can come in. People that are backslid can come in. People that are hurting can come in. And we've been on decade after decade, past 50 years of ministry and still serving God and rejoicing that radio is an open door.
Hi, I'm Shannon Caldwell, and I host The Morning Light here at WMUZ. You know, I first came to know WMUZ as a listener. When I first got saved, I found out that there was such a thing as Christian radio. And I said, hey, well, I'm a Christian. I think I'll listen to that radio station. And, you know, I just became a listener and a loyal listener and a big fan of some of the programming on the station. And it was really great and instrumental in just making me feel like I was part of something bigger, you know?
WMUZ to me is a way to just listen to God's word through music. And even though I'm only 14 years old, I love just WMUZ in general.
WMUZ means to me a breath of fresh air, a chance to catch my breath.
It's always right on time, as God always is.
I'm going through a real bad time in my life, and this station has just picked me up where I was going down bad. This is a great radio station.
Frank Franciosi.
In a world where change happens sometimes at breakneck speed, 50 years of broadcasting the same unchangeable gospel message seems almost otherworldly. WMUZ is in a unique class of radio stations, remaining true to the core mission established by our founder, Percy B. Crawford. To edify the saints and evangelize the lost, and to help our broadcasters, our advertisers, and ourselves to be good stewards of the financial resources given to us. That is a tall order in any era, but Don Crawford, Percy's son and president of WMUZ, has proudly carried the mantle of his father's vision into the new millennium with fresh programming designed to meet the needs of today's Christian community, yet never wavering from the foundation of WMUZ's calling to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. I am personally honored to have spent more than 30 of the 50 years WMUZ has existed as one of the co-workers at this legendary radio station. In what are changing and somewhat rocky times, I remain content knowing that WMUZ has stood the test of time. For 50 years, WMUZ has been a beacon of light, guiding thousands upon thousands toward a closer walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That will remain our mission for now and for the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Percy Crawford speaking, and I thought at the start of this, what we might call the new WMUZ-FM, that would be in order that we dedicate this new power and this new station set up to the Lord and ask His blessing upon it. So would you mind just bowing your head for a little prayer with me? Our Father, we ask Thy special blessing upon WMUZ-FM now as it starts out on a new career, being the strongest station in the state of Michigan. We pray that Thou will make it a blessing to every one of our listeners, that Thou will continue to use it. Now bless the staff as they're manning it, and bless Bob Anderson as he leads and directs and guides the station, and make it a blessing to all of the people round about in this great state of Michigan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Radiography, a glimpse into the lives and ministries of today's Christian leaders. Thank you for joining us. For a schedule of upcoming Radiography broadcasts, please visit this station's website or go to crawfordbroadcasting.com. Radiography is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country production.